Well, we've improved the shack today, haven't we, Matthew?
We have. It's looking nice. There's an Amiga on a table now.
Looks very executive.
It does. There's a big CRT TV next to it. Those wonderful square mouse is out on the table. Mm.
And then that nice waggly joystick.
That waggly joystick with an interchangeable grip. Make it feel like you're in the arcade or having a...
Flying a plane.
Yeah, exactly. Flying a plane.
Or a spaceship.
Yeah.
Oh, the wonders of video games.
I kind of feel like I'm flying a plane when I sit at that desk. I feel like a pilot of video gaming dreams.
Yeah, if we were playing two-player on Amiga in a space shooter video game, we could say, Tom and Matt attack.
We'd have a lot of time. It'd take 20 minutes to load.
Yeah, God, that was a long-winded introduction.
It was. I think we've done longer ones, to be honest, but there we go. How are you doing, Thomas? You all right?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm feeling happy with what we just talked about. Also, I have put another shelf up in the corner. In our retro corner, where we have all the old console just about. Well, no, I say, you know, the Sega and Nintendo ones, at least.
We've got the staples of any decent retro gaming collection, I believe.
Yeah, what we got over there? We got a NES, a SNES, a Mega Drive, a Saturn, a Dreamcast, an N64, a GameCube, a PS2, and a PS1.
Multiple Game Boys in a box below it.
Yeah, and now an extra shelf for our growing Mega Drive game collection.
Yeah, I guess the only thing we're really missing is a Master System, but...
Yeah, get a Master System converter, save on space.
Exactly. My Mega Drive 1's packed away in its corner, bless it, because we haven't got enough space to put it out.
Yeah, it's peculiar. Matt picked up this Mega Drive 1 online, and I think it's a knockoff.
It is, it's a bootleg.
It's amazingly accurate, though. It's the same mould and everything. And
Yeah. It's a pretty good copy, to be honest. We talked about it on the podcast before, but I bought it just because of the games.
Oh, yes, because we got High Seas Havoc with it. And
I got Strider.
And Strider.
Which I haven't played yet.
Ah, Strider.
Yeah, I have the original Strider over there in the corner, not the PS4 version, which I've been taking great joy in playing this week. Mm. Yeah. What have you been up to?
What have I been playing this week?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked, Matthew, because I used that very retro corner earlier on in the week to play Time Splitters 2 with... our good friend Austin, a frequent feature on the podcast is Austin.
He's kind of like Wilson, the next door neighbour in Home Improvement. You mention of him, but you never hear. Oh, actually, no, if you do, if you go to our YouTube channel, you can hear him shouting abuse at us while playing Towerfall.
I think he says something on the lines of, I'm sucking at Towerfall.
Yes, if you want to remix that into a song and give it to us, then we'll gladly play it for him.
But yeah, we were playing... I was trying to get Austin to play something else other than GameCube. I've pulled out a few PS1 games and tried to dangle them in front of him and convince him. But he's a GameCube guy at heart.
He is
our friend Austin.
Well, it was his first console, from what he tells us, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. His parents didn't allow him to have video games, and so they gave him a GameCube when he got to that age.
And he's a big Smash Brothers fan. I convinced him to try Time Splitters 2 for the first time.
My favourite FPS. I have not played it for a very long time. Does it hold up?
We played it in multiplayer, obviously a deathmatch. And yes, it holds up very well. It was very enjoyable. There's still nothing quite like Time Splitters.
It's a bit of a shame, really. When you think of all the games that have got HD remakes and remasterings, why hasn't there been a Time Splitters?
It'll be amazing to see a new one on new hardware.
Can you imagine? But even I would settle for a HD remastering of Time Splitters 2.
Three was...
I never played Feature Perfect.
I think 3 had a more preferable campaign.
Really?
I think.
Yeah, I didn't really like the campaign of Time Splitters 2.
No.
It was all about the multiplayer for me.
Yeah, and that's where he shines. 3 actually had some great new multiplayer characters as well. Yeah.
Believe it or not, that was the first person shooter I think I remember playing that you had to use two sticks.
Mm, really?
To look around and want to walk. I believe I played it on the PS2 first.
The original Timesplitters, are we talking, or Timesplitters 2?
Timesplitters 2.
Right. Yeah, the original Timesplitters is notable for the fact that it made me have motion sickness. First-person shooters tend to do that with me. Well, that and Duke Nukem 3D in particular.
Duke Nukem Forever, is it? No, not Duke Nukem Forever. What's it called? Yeah, that is a new one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Duke Nukem Forever gave me motion sickness, as did Marathon.
General sickness.
Bungie shooter. No, I didn't mind Duke Nukem Forever. It was what it was. It was, you know, an old game.
The demo left a bad taste in my mouth.
The game literally left a bad taste in my mouth because I was sick playing it. Horrible. Just got weird motion sickness. Only happened on the 360. I've never had motion sickness before.
PS2, Timesplitters, original motion sickness.
No,
N64, Duke Nukem 3D.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Blech.
Somebody did with the frame rate, right, in the first person viewpoint, because motion sickness happens because your brain is confused that it thinks you're doing something, but you're not. Because it's seeing, like, you holding a gun, and your brain automatically makes the connection that you are holding a gun, but then your brain's got a disconnect because it can't feel it, and therefore your brain...
Really? They'll go that
honestly,
deep.
Your brain thinks you are poisoned and you're delirious, and thus it makes because you sick to try and get the poison out of your system.
It's more the movement, isn't it? The way it moves.
No. It makes your brain think that you are doing something, and that's why you're sick.
That you're moving in that direction when you're not really.
Yeah, your brain can't get the fact that you're playing virtual entertainment, which is moving in a certain way.
And it would happen with first-person games more so than other games. Yeah.
Though I have, I experienced it playing Brutal Legend as well, which is a shame because it's a brilliant game. Just the way the camera moves in that game also.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think Austin enjoyed Timesplitters 2. He didn't really let on. He seemed to be enjoying it.
Yeah.
Shooting the monkey.
Be interesting next
nice
week to see
shooter.
If he wants to play it again. Like, he usually plays melee or he plays F-Zero.
F-Zero GX, yeah. I was trying to not play that this week.
Yeah.
He's a fan of that one.
I saw an interesting post. I've been up on NeoGAF recently. I was posting on the old GAF, and there was a... people using the Dolphin emulator, which is a GameCube and Wii emulator for PCs, and these people with these big gaming rigs that, you know, can run Crysis and watch 8 million barrels explode, and actually it'll happen on their screen without melting their computer. Them running this emulator and looking at screenshots of them cranking all of the options up for GameCube games.
Mm-hmm.
I was very surprised to see how amazingly detailed F-Zero GX is. There was a screen grab of Metroid that was particularly interesting, of like the first one of Samus in the suit, and just seeing that and how beautiful the Samus model looks. It looks like an early 360 game, maybe even midway through the lifespan of the 360 or PS3. But F-Zero GX just has a lot going on. Like, there's a lot of detail on the track and stuff that perhaps you take for granted because you're moving so fast.
Especially in two-player.
Yeah, but it's incredibly detailed, incredibly beautiful game. To be honest, I'm quite surprised we didn't get a Wii port of it because of how well it is.
Yeah, I guess they thought they couldn't add anything through the motion controls, maybe.
Perhaps.
Or maybe it'd be too difficult to play. And Nintendo weren't keen to, I guess, to port over stuff. Because they had a new play control thing, didn't they?
Yeah, so that's true.
Any old GameCube game was only to be released if they could find some way to use the Wii Remote with it.
Such as Pikmin.
And sadly, Mario Tennis, which was not very responsive.
Really?
It's not very good. It's not very good as a Wii Remote control game. It's great with a controller.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit sad.
So what about you, Matt? What else have you been playing apart from Strider?
Me? To be honest, I've been knee-deep in your Donkey Kong.
Knee-deep in my Donkey Kong.
Knee-deep in your Donkey Kong. I've been tropical freezing my knees off in your Donkey Kong.
Yeah, I've played the game too. Not as much as young Matthew has. It takes about 45 minutes to play the first couple of levels. But where are you up to now?
I am on the fifth world out of six, I believe. I believe there is a seventh with a few extra levels once you've unlocked all of the alternate routes and got all the puzzles and stuff. Well, I'm not going to do that. I haven't got time.
Have you been finding it?
Very good.
Because my first impressions of the game were very positive.
I keep wanting to go back and play it again, which is something that rarely happens to me with platformers. Like, I'm really looking forward to playing new Super Mario Brothers 3D Land again.
3D World.
3D World. Yeah. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that doesn't stick with me that much. It's just like, it's nice. But it's just kind of like, oh yeah, this is a
I don't think
Mario
it's
game.
As challenging no, as Donkey Kong. And that's one of the most rewarding things about this game and its predecessor.
Definitely. There were one or two niggles with the controller, I will be honest, where there's a lot of you pressing X and Y to like run or to do a special attack.
Which is usually left up to waggling the Wii Remote, if I remember.
Yes.
And I found the controls on Donkey Kong Country Returns with Wii Remote and Nunchuck to be rather good. I like them.
I think they're excellent because they're minimalist. On the gamepad, it doesn't really transfer so well, but our good friend Austin has informed us that the controls are quite customizable.
Yes,
something I haven't looked into. And I really want to put this combination of buttons, if I can, on the shoulders. Because then I can hold down the shoulders and then I can jump, because it was a particularly tricky level which involved me running and jumping a lot and I couldn't really do it.
Yeah.
But I will say this for the game. Does what the new Super Mario Brothers game 3D World does very well, in that it takes established kind of things of what makes Donkey Kong Donkey Kong, like you
Donkey
think.
Kong Country.
It has very strong underwater levels. Mm-hmm. It has brilliant music. It has the kart levels, but it mixes them up. It does something new and different with them.
And it has this dynamic camera this time round, so everything looks a lot more dynamic.
It does. We were reading an article, or at least I was, and kind of just shouting it at you while you were playing the game the other day, of Retro saying that they love the Wii U, and they say everyone who's saying it's underpowered are idiots because look at the game we made with it, kind of thing.
Yeah, just look at it.
It's
beautiful.
A fantastic game. Like, all these people on the Wii U verse going, oh, it looks like a GameCube game. Then you probably weren't old enough to actually have played a GameCube.
I'm not sure. This one dude wrote that and posted a screenshot of what just looked like, to me, a nicely designed, more minimalist level of design.
Yeah.
Not necessarily bad graphics. Well, definitely not bad graphics, because I've played the game.
Yeah. It's great. I really enjoy it. I'm kind of a bit apprehensive to finish it, to be honest, because then it'll be over. It probably means I shall go back to the Wii one, because I never completed that, I don't think.
Neither did I. I did pick it up the other week, as I mentioned on the podcast, to try and finish it, but didn't quite get there. So, in a way, I'd like to finish that before I actually get stuck into the other. But it's a tough game as well, you know.
It is a tough game.
And will I ever get there and complete it before I can play the other one? No,
true.
Don't know.
You are opening it up to me completing one of your games before you again.
Yeah. But then again, when did you last do that? We both own Tomb Raider.
We both own Tomb Raider, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I guess it was the Xbox. When we first
El Shaddai.
El Shaddai, Shadows of the Damned.
Yeah, but I did finish Shadows of the Damned.
You did eventually, yeah.
That was tough at the end, but
it was, you got there.
I got there. Very rewarding.
Anything else for you?
Yes. Plenty more I have been playing. I went back to the Xbox 360, as I do every Thursday.
Yes.
To play usually a trio of games with my friend Gareth back in the UK. We've kept up tradition of playing on Thursday nights since school, so high school. So this is it's great, it's still going. We have the odd Xbox Live trouble. Gareth's connection isn't very good. My Xbox is a bit temperamental, so we do tend to use Matt's for purposes. He's got a slightly newer model for online play. And we played, I'll just list what we played that night. We played Halo Reach, Dead Space 3, and Forza 4.
Yeah.
Dead Space 3, sadly, was the most frustrating experience of the evening, as we've tried to do the same side quest, I think, four times now, and during the quest, it's dropped out and lost connection. And there's no checkpoints during this quest, which is about an hour long, I'd say.
Oh, great.
So we keep losing it. And this last week, we got very near the end. We've got all the treasures from the quest, and we're just returning back to the start of the route we'd taken so we could continue with the main story. And it dropped out, and we lost everything again.
Great.
And so There's no way I'm playing that side quest again. Every time we go to play Dead Space 3, it's do we carry on to the main story, do the side quest. Let's try the side quest. You know, it'll be nice. No way. There's the checkpoints a bit more plentiful in the main story. So
it's a bit more forgiving to terrible internet connection.
Yeah, so we'll just plow on with that. But I like the game. It's just starting to get infuriated playing the same section over and over again.
I can imagine. I thought you were going to say that it's frustrating because it's not a survival horror game, but that's just my opinion on it.
Funny thing with my experience of Dead Space is I've played the first one, but only briefly. I've played most of, by far, I mean, we're probably about, 9 hours into the campaign on Dead Space 3. And I've enjoyed it very much. It's scary still, I think.
But it's all monster closets, right? From what I understand, it's like, you know, it's you walk around a corner, bam, something comes out the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what happens. And sometimes there's lots of enemies and you can be overwhelmed by the amount of enemies.
And then sometimes you'll go into a room and, oh my God, there's lots of dead people. Oh,
that's right, yeah.
Yeah, it's Dead Space. Congratulations, EA, for evolving.
Interesting, though, because I watched film the other day, Screamers.
Yeah.
Set in a snowy ice world.
Yes.
And it did remind me an awful lot of Dead Space.
Yeah, it's kind of got that aesthetic to it from what I saw of it.
So I think there's been some influence there from that film. But I'd say the other games of the evening were much more pleasurable experiences. I always love dipping into Forza. Started playing Forza 4 again. Not much really to say there.
No.
It's Forza. But was playing on the Suzuka track, the Japanese track.
Yeah.
Because it reminds me of playing F355 Challenge on the Dreamcast.
Okay.
One of my favourite games of that era. But Halo Reach, I think, was the highlight.
It's because Reach is a fantastic game.
I love playing Firefight online with Gareth. And I also love playing it, listening to the music on my Xbox.
Yeah.
When I played it on Matt's Xbox of the week, he didn't have my music on. Matt had to put some music on his laptop so I could enjoy it more.
I put Iggy Pop and the Stooges, Search and Destroy.
Search and Destroy, which is my favourite track for playing Halo Reach 2.
Yeah.
Because it's got a lyric about Firefight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. That's why I remember being there.
There's a particular map I like as well. I can't remember what it's called, but it's on an alien planet. It's like a red planet. And you've got the two...
Oh, yeah, that map.
You've got like bunkers.
Yeah.
And you can go on the roof and there's a gun on one of the roofs. And but it's all like a rocky red environment. That's my favourite for Firefight.
That's a cool map. I like the one where you're inside, it's a part of the campaign where you're defending the lab and you kind of in a base and then there's kind of a hill.
The hill, the grassy one, the one that like the first level.
No, the one inside, like a big cave thing. It's like, it looks like you're in like a rock thing. There's a base at the bottom and then there's a little bit going up and yeah.
Maybe it's because I always play the same one.
Yeah, it's actually, like lab or something it's
we
called.
We took it up and played the level that's near the end of the game. Just before you, the final moments of Halo
that's
Reach.
The one. Oh, no, I'm not thinking.
And that's
of,
up in the cliffs.
Actually, I'm thinking of ODST, I think.
I think you might be.
I think
I can't remember
of
that
ODST,
level.
Yeah.
Anyway, getting back to the point, it's great, you know, and what I love about Halo is I love all the creatures in it. I love the way they all have their own unique way of acting, their own behaviour.
Yeah.
And like the weapons, I like the overall feel of the game, that it's a sci-fi shooter, and that appeals to me far more so than something like Call of Duty, for instance.
Well, why it appeals to me more is you kind of get a sense of that, even though, like, you know, the Grunt is the same character model, like, when they say different things and they say all this weird crap that the aliens in Halo say, it kind of gives you a feeling that it's a different one.
Mm.
Like, they say so many different things, like when they throw in the grenades, just like, "Demon, run!" and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That it just kind of gives it a feeling.
Something
you're
going to blast into a rock song then.
Yeah. No. just kind of like in how the Jackals move we talked about the other day, like when you throw a grenade and they roll.
Yeah, that's
and they're like,
right,
oh,
yeah.
Shit. Yeah.
And I was admiring The Hunter the other day and how I never really appreciated its design before.
Yeah.
As Gareth was telling me, it was made up of sort of worm creatures and such. And
it is.
And it's not always hunched over. When you see it, like, reared up, then you see another part of its design. And
Yeah. It's cool, isn't it?
Like, it's so cool.
It's a beautiful design game. I really can't wait for Destiny. to see what Bungie do outside of that terrain.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I think they'll do well with that one.
Watched the Halo 5 trailer again the other day and it made me laugh.
He did the one where you take the hood off?
Yeah, why is he wearing a hood over a helmet?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I didn't know
Who's
that?
Who's that? Oh, it's how you do that, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but why is he wearing a hood over a helmet?
Master Chief.
Yeah, anyways.
So go on, Matt, what about you? Anything else?
I'm trying to think what else I've played, to be honest. There's been a few things I tell you what I've been playing. I've been playing some Bravely Default, as per usual.
I've actually
reached a point in the game that is, like I said, I kind of got the crystals and stuff, which is the main thing of the game. And then there's a whole, essentially the game then opens up and you can follow the main story. There's loads of side quests and you can like refight old bosses and stuff. So I've been doing that for the most part. And there's a side quest where to get the best job in the game, which is a vampire skill, you need to go and kill 6 very powerful dragons to get entrance to the dungeon to fight the boss to get the skill. And it's so goddamn hard. I've fought 3 of the dragons trying to figure out which one of them of the 6 is the easiest. And I've just died so many times. Like, they have an ability that makes you weak to the type of dragon they are from the off of the battle. Okay. And then they cast a spell the next turn, and then it kills 2 of my party members, my mages, and then I'm left with 2 people.
I mean, I don't play a lot of RPGs, but I can relate this to maybe the Elite Four on Pokemon.
Yeah, kind of. Did you ever play Final Fantasy VII at all?
Seven? Very little. I played more of 8. I was going to say, 8.
They're kind of comparable to the weapons, I guess, in Final Fantasy VII from my brief experience of them anyways, which are notoriously difficult bosses in Final Fantasy VII.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've been having fun with it.
At least you've been having fun, that's the main thing.
The main story kind of gets a bit frustrating, and I kind of rushed through that bit again, and then before trying to progress with the story again, I thought, I'll take some time out and do some of the side bits and kill a few bosses and level up and stuff. So it's going fun. I'm really enjoying it still. Interested to move on to some of the new RPGs I've picked up, but I'll talk about it in a bit. But yeah, I've been playing that and enjoying it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have something else I've been playing this week.
On your Wii U, I believe, online, with 1,000 other people.
I just kind of referenced it then. I've actually been playing a bit of Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
Ooh!
This was an impulse purchase last week, and I probably mentioned it on the show. I imagine I did.
Yeah, Man Down Central.
99 kroner, maybe the Danish deal of the week.
Yeah.
Which we haven't done for a while.
Possibly, actually, there's a few Danish deals of the week in... up in the old Elgiganten and currently in the Bilkas around.
Well, I also picked up the other week Dance Central 3 for just 49 kroner.
Yeah.
Which I thought was quite reasonable.
So for 100 kroner, though, Mario Tennis for the 3DS. Oh, you did, yeah. Chase Begins. Pokemon Black and White 2, 100 kroner each.
Bargains.
Yeah. Super Paper Mario, whatever thingy it is, the Sticker Star story for the 3DS, 140 kroner.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on with the 3DS at the moment. I've picked up a lot of games, and also a bargain this week that you found for me yesterday, a 99 kroner for Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance. I'm really looking forward to playing.
I
can't wait.
Kingdom Hearts fan?
Yes, I am.
RPG fan in general.
This is the third Kingdom Hearts game now that I've bought that I haven't played.
But this one's meant to be good, so perhaps you played it.
Birth by Sleep, the one on the PSP, is supposed to be good as well, but then that means I've got to carry my PSP around.
Yeah.
I already got a Vita, and usually the 3DS in my bag anyway, so I don't want to take another console.
Problems.
First world problems galore.
But Call of Duty.
Yes.
Saturday morning, decided to... I previously played a bit of the campaign last weekend. Your typical Call of Duty affair. It feels a little bit like a roller coaster ride. You don't feel that skillful doing the. You feel like you kind of muddle through it, and there's not that feeling of what would you call it?
Achievement.
Yes.
At all.
With it. It's all right. These blast stuff.
Oh, but I watched you play it, and I thought you were on easy because the enemies didn't really do anything. You kind of walked into a room and then you shot everyone.
No, I could kind of. I mean, I'm not a very experienced player, so I walk into a room or whatever, and I'll get shot up quite a bit. But just hide behind something for a few seconds, and you're fine again.
Yeah.
The enemies just pop out from places, you shoot them, and there's no real sense of exploration in a Call of Duty game. But I know that about the series. I don't expect that from a Call of Duty game. It just leaves me feeling that the single player is a bit of a tired formula until it introduces something a bit more exciting. Like the beginning of, I think, the second level, whatever, I was doing a thing where I was swinging along a cliff face with some kind of new high-tech gadgets, obviously, set in the future, a part of the game at least. So that was a bit different. But that, going back, what I enjoy the most about it was the multiplayer, as most do with Call of Duty. And playing it on the Wii U was a bit of a different experience.
It was.
Because there's not so many people playing it.
From what was said in the corner of the screen, 1,000.
1,000. And I think that is beneficial to someone like me who isn't as skilled at these first-person shooters.
There were a lot of people who were prestiged. And
there were, but when we played the games, I didn't find that I struggled too much. I did initially because not having the experience. But once I warmed into it, I could find I could get kills quite easily, especially in some of the smaller maps.
Yeah.
And then some of the replays at the end, like the final kills, you could see some of the players, you know, they weren't that amazing.
Yeah.
You could see that there was error in their aiming and things like that. So it made me feel a bit better about myself as well, knowing that everyone out there is perfect. And I guess there's the Wii U might just be the perfect place to play a Call of Duty for a game for a beginner like me.
Yeah, perhaps. Like you said, you had a good experience of Modern Warfare, the original, right?
On the Wii, actually. Call of Duty 4. I enjoyed playing that on the Wii, and I think that was a different experience because everyone, I don't know if you can play it with the classic controller, but I was playing it with the Wii Remote Nunchuk.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was easier because it's a lot quicker to
shoot people,
and such.
No, that's cool.
Which you can do on Black Ops 2.
Really?
But I haven't tried that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I've been using my Classic Controller Pro, which is one of the main reasons I bought this game, was to try out this controller for a more traditional type game. Because actually, I've other than Call of Duty 4, I've never bought a Call of Duty game before.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I got a copy of Modern Warfare 2 for free somehow.
Really?
And I sold it immediately without unwrapping it.
Interesting.
Although I had played Modern Warfare 2 previously. I think I'd borrowed it. I find Deathmatch on Call of Duty rather addictive, and I can see why people get so caught up in it. But for me, it's not got a lasting appeal because I find Soldiers a bit boring.
Yeah.
I'd rather play Halo.
It's fair enough. Like, there's no personality really to it. It's kind of like, yeah, I'm a big strong man.
Yeah. But the actual gameplay, the shooting mechanics all work perfectly well, and it's an enjoyable game. And you can see as you play more online, I was picking up strategies and things. And with you sitting helping me with the gamepad was fun as well, telling me where people were, because I didn't realise there was a radar on the screen.
Yeah. As well. And not a lot of people do. Like, I always find it weird when I see people play FPS games. Nobody seems to use the fucking radar. And I look at it, I'm just like, it's telling you there's a guy around the corner. Just look, it went to the radar, you glance at it while you run in, and then you'll see people.
I mean, some of these strategies I was finding, they lure you into buildings and hide around the corner. So as you come into the building, they
just
shoot you.
Plug you, yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to use that one next time.
Yeah, it's good.
But, yep, saying that, you know, I enjoyed it.
Cool.
It was good fun. And yeah, it's a few first-person shooters I played this week. Halo Reach, Time Splitters 2, and Black Ops 2.
What's happening to you? I played a bit of Battlefield, as I
usually do. Yeah.
Starting to get into the swing of that now. I've played it a little bit.
Despite hating it to begin with.
Well, like, I hated it because it definitely feels pay to win. Like, you can get the premium service, which I'm thinking of doing to get all the maps and stuff. And then you get all of the DMRs, you get all of the shotguns and all of the pistols. So you have a huge, huge advantage by paying for the premium map packs. Mm. Over everyone else, because you won't automatically unlock these things that can kill someone from like a mile away, which is a bit crap, I think. Like, if you're gonna make the game with unlocks and stuff, make it more balanced. Because with the premium membership as well, I've heard that you can set yourself a mission, like you can take like mission kind of things, like you did in Call of Duty Modern Warfare, where you go for certain things, like kill 20 people with a DMR or whatever, and then you unlock more XP, which you can then use to unlock more guns and stuff. But in this, you can literally like look, and there are special missions for people who have paid for premium, so you can get better sniper rifles without having to level up by just doing these set tasks.
Mm.
Which is a bit crap, I think. Yeah. Kind of really annoyed me.
Because, I mean, these things are in Call of Duty as well, but it's more about leveling up.
Yeah.
In that.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas this, you can access them early if you pay money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course.
I guess, can you do that in Call of Duty, though? Is there an option?
Perhaps. Maybe. Probably. I'm not familiar with Ghosts. We've actually had a lend a bit now off a friend, Jakob, which we'll probably do a TMA quickie or something. I'm going to look at it in the week. But, yeah, I'm curious to see if that's the case with that game.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that?
Yeah, that's we play Skylanders. Just
we
now.
Did.
Thailanders, sorry.
Thailanders? Skylanders.
It's set in Thailand.
Maybe it is.
And, yeah, it's a good, fun game, a beautiful game on the PS4. Yeah, what do you think, Matt?
I really enjoy it. It's very simple, it's very fun to play, it's very bright and colourful. It looks fantastic on the PS4 as well, which is something
I can't compare it to any other version, though, because I've not seen it running on anything else. But
I've seen the 3DS version, and I've seen gameplay of the PS3 version. I just think it looks amazing. Like, I can kind of see then on the cutscene, after we stopped recording the video, that kind of, okay, maybe the textures aren't so great on the character models for a next-gen console, but still looks pretty.
Yeah, and as Matt just mentioned, we recorded a Tom and Matt attempt video of it. So you can enjoy that when we have that online for you.
Yeah.
Sorry
about the Sonic video as well that we ranted about for the whole
first
15 minutes of the last podcast.
We just had a few technical difficulties.
Technical snafus, but it'll be up soon, hopefully.
Yeah. But Skylanders, you know, the visual aesthetic of the game reminded me of Jack and Daxter, and you also mentioned Ratchet and Clank. It's like they've taken this heritage now of 3D platformers, and they've taken inspiration from that and created what is a very aesthetically pleasing game with some great character designs.
Well, it makes sense, right? I mean, like, Spyro was kind of the forerunner, I guess, for these 3D platformers anyways, a series before Ratchet and Clank.
So far, I've not experienced Spyro in this game.
No, unfortunately, we do not own Spyro. Therefore, he won't be played.
Yeah. And if there was any kind of criticism from me, it's a constant kind of, yes, get this character to access area you can't access it without. But I knew that was good. That was inevitable, really.
Yeah. Well,
but it's a great mechanic for getting people to buy things.
Yeah.
It was even convincing me slightly, which is a little bit scary.
Yeah, same with me, actually. I was looking at it going, oh, wow, we can get that kind of thing. Yeah. I can do that. No, I don't want to
spend
more
money, thank
you.
It's a dangerous territory. But then again, the figures are very nice. They're nice things to put on display. We had them on display with our other video game collectibles.
Yeah, they do look good on the shelf.
They do. And I love when I put my Grim Creeper character on it. It's one of them, what are they called?
Light core
characters, so his head was blue.
Yeah,
yeah.
It glowed with the tenacity of his soul.
And your one didn't glow.
Mine didn't glow.
I felt mine was
superior
to yours.
Because mine was like 20 kroner less than yours. But
and it's a bigger figure as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you can see more of our thoughts on Skylanders in our video.
Yeah, but it's a damn good game. Of course, I realise it's probably influenced by Ratchet and Clank because the original Spyro was by Insomniac, right? Who also then did Ratchet and Clank.
That's right.
Yeah.
This was made by Voracious Visions?
I think so. But maybe some
Activision's
of the X-Team, I guess,
company
went across when the rights to Spyro were purchased. Who knows?
Perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. Answers on a postcard, please, to that.
Have you been playing anything else this week, Matthew?
Have I been playing anything else? I'm not actually sure. I don't think so.
You've been purchasing a few games.
I have.
Unlike myself, I'll put my hands up now and say I haven't bought any games this week.
Wowzers.
Apart from Kingdom Hearts, which you pay
Kingdom
me back
Hearts
for.
For me.
Which was one of the Danish deals. Maybe the Danish deal this last week?
I would say so. Kingdom Hearts Dream Drops Distance.
99 kroner.
Still 35 quid on Amazon. 99 kroner
is a slap-up
bargain.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had to go right into the bottom of the bargain basket for that as well.
Did you?
If you go to the bottom of that basket in Ogiganton, you find Street Fighter 4, which as well.
Yeah. Where else was in there?
Street Fighter 4?
No, I mean like games. Like anything catch your eye? Or was
not
it
anything I hadn't seen the other week. Time. Yeah.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah, so
loads
I got
of copies of Call of Duty Black Ops 2 on Wii U.
Really? That's a shame. I may have to pick one up. I got Dreamed Up Distance, as we just said.
Dreamed Up Distance.
Ah, rolled off the tongue. I got Etrian Odyssey Untold, The Millennium Girl. I believe I mentioned this on last week's podcast, but maybe I didn't. It's a Etrian Odyssey game for the 3DS, essentially a remake of the first one, but it has a story because the first one doesn't. Yes, I did definitely talk about this last week, so I'll skip on. I also received my copy of Rune Factory 4. Great game, published by Exceed. Fantasy Harvest Moon with RPG elements. Mm-hmm. Good times.
So that's the three RPGs now.
Yes. But on this the 3DS. One I bought because while Millennium Girl will be out to now, it's been confirmed it'll be out at the end of April.
Yeah.
But technically speaking, because I bought it in the States, it was a lot cheaper anyway, so I don't really mind. Is the fact that Rune Factory 4 has been told that it will never come to Europe.
Really?
Because the company who made it, I'm unfamiliar with the studio name, who made the original game in Japan, have gone under. And so Exceed don't have the rights to publish it in Europe, and no one does because they went into liquidation. So it's been confirmed that this great game that was winning lots of awards and stuff in the States, at least, and getting rave reviews, will never see a European
release.
Now
you can justify your purchase of your
American
3DS.
I've done a lot with my American 3DS. Like, the fact that Shin Megami Tensei is pretty much going to have been a year between release in the States. And
have you played it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've played about 8 or 9 hours of it. I'm pretty far into Shin Megami.
You got so many RPGs.
Yeah, I've got many on the go. That's why I'm trying to complete Bravely Default now.
And then what's next?
I believe I was talking with one of our Twitter followers at Axlums on Twitter. And I think I might go Fire Emblem Awakenings.
Okay.
Just because that'll be on my red 3DS, i.e. my British one, which I carry around with me when I go out and stuff. And then I think I'm going to plug in Rune Factory, just because I want to see it and experience it and talk about it on the podcast.
Do you ever finish that one? What's the other one?
Or Shadow Dragon, the old...
No, there was one on the DS you were quite into.
Oh, Project X Zone.
No, not that one.
Not that one.
There was one you were playing on the DS, which you talked in length about on the podcast one week that you really got into.
Radiant Historia.
Yes. That's what I was referencing.
I haven't.
You haven't gone back to that one?
Like, it's a very good game with a very solid story. But, like, I put it down, and to be honest, I nearly did the same with Bravely Default. It wasn't until I picked it back up and kind of forced myself to play it a bit that I got back into Bravely Default.
Mm.
But I feel like RPGs, they're not so easy to pick up once you've put down. Like, you need to
testify to that.
Otherwise, you just kind of drop out of them. And I wasn't that far into Radiant Historia, and obviously this library amasses every week as we talk about on the podcast. I end up buying new things, and I haven't had a chance to go back to it, but I really want to. That's testament enough to it, because it's like I have the first Etrian Odyssey, which, as I said, is tough and has no story, no interest in going back to it. I just stuck a sticker on it to say I'm done with that. And then
does everyone know about your sticker thing?
I guess I should bring it up again, because a few people actually asked me about it and I had to take a few pictures with people. They thought it was a good idea. People out there like the stickers. But when I complete a game, or I'm done with the game, just to help myself visualize it and to say, okay,
when you look at the shelf,
I have X amount of games that I haven't played or completed, then it tends to scare me a little bit, and so I don't buy any more for a while. A while means like 2 or 3 days. But I put stickers on the spines of the games that face out, and then I can see what I've done. And it's actually got to the sad level of my OCD that they're colour-coded by year I completed them.
But that was more by chance than anything,
it was
it?
By
the fact
chance.
You ran out of different colours.
Well, no, we moved here. I was using red stickers when I first did it. Then we moved here and I couldn't find the red stickers. So I just happened to get green ones because they were the only ones I could find anywhere in Violet.
You got blue ones as well.
And now I got blue ones because I thought, well, I'm going to switch it up. I have still got the green ones, but I wanted to do 2014 as blue stickers. We'll see what I get up to.
Yeah.
But yeah, sorry to go on a massive, massive tangent.
No, I thought that was important. That we
fair enough.
When you mentioned it,
Yeah.
You know.
What else have I bought?
You've got one sitting right next to you on the sofa there.
I do indeed. I'm going to touch upon that in a second, though. Okay. I got Sera and Kagura Burst for the 3DS as well.
Well done.
The game
you said that well.
Doing...
I think
so, too. seems to be quite controversial there because it's essentially like anime, busty anime women, very skinny, fighting each other. And if you hit the person an amount of times, they go down to like swimwear or something.
And this intrigued Matthew so much, he had to buy the game.
I bought it because it reminds me of the Bleach game on the DS, uh-huh. which I actually kind of like. The style of like the it's a big arena kind of fighting game. To be honest, I kind of bought it, A, because I wanted to see if it's as bad as everyone is talking about.
And bad, you mean risky?
Yeah, like everyone's kind of like, believe it or not, like official Nintendo magazine came out and kind of had a statement of just saying like, this game is poison to the industry, this game shouldn't be allowed to exist, which I thought was a bit of a ballsy move for an official Nintendo publication to say, like, yeah. we don't agree with this game. But they reviewed it and gave it a good score, so... Yeah.
Really?
Yes. so, like, apparently it's a bit like Marmite, this game, from what I can see. Like, a lot of people really like it and think it's got really tight battle mechanics and it works very well. Other people hate it, but the argument seems to be for people hating it is that they don't like the portrayal of women. So, I'll see if it's as bad as everyone says it is and I'll comment on it on the podcast.
And it's quite shameless in how it...
yes, it is, but it is based on an anime that is also quite shameless of how
Yeah, I'm
is.
Seeing how it promotes itself. It was cover, for instance.
Yeah, the cover is literally like...
Breasts,
A woman with like a scroll between her breasts or something.
You don't see the character's face.
No, you don't. It's
kind just
of,
breasts.
She's blushing and there's hair covering her eyes. But the game has already sold out on Amazon. I don't think it will get another press. Therefore, I honestly think it was a worthy investment.
It's a collector's item, perhaps.
I think it's going to become... I think once the Daily Mail and once the German market kind of sees it, it's going to be pulled off shelves.
I'm surprised
anyways.
It was a game they brought over to Europe.
It seems very weird. Like, I'd seen it on the Vita in Japan. I saw it even when I was in Hong Kong, and I was like, oh, that's weird. That's a game we're never going to see.
Did it have the same cover?
No, it doesn't.
No.
Has a completely different cover. It's just kind of two women kind of looking really angry at each other, but you don't even really see them. You just focus on their faces.
They're hoping, I guess, people will pick it up based on the cover.
It is. But then again, you know, apparently, I believe it's 80% of the hentai porn consumed by the world is actually by a Western audience.
Really?
I believe it's a fact, yes. Most of it is produced for people in the States. Would have thought. Yeah, other than that, I've picked up a few retro goodies for myself, which is nice, because we haven't really talked a lot of retro on the podcast as of late.
Might mention Strider.
Yeah, but like, in terms of like, us, I guess it's because it's not car boot season. And
no,
that's
and I've
usually
not been buying as much
up.
As I usually do. I have to confess to that as well. Yeah. Usually I'd find myself on a Sunday afternoon on eBay, but I've been far too busy to do things like that.
You have.
Putting up shelves.
Yeah, exactly. Being a man.
Yeah.
Being a man's
using
man.
My power tools.
Exactly. You know, everyone loves retro games and a man talking about power tools.
Helping Austin put up his disco ball.
Exactly. Carrying TVs for damsels in distress. I bought 3 PS1 games because I've kind of got to that level of desperation when I'm charity shop hunting now.
Every time you see a game, you have to buy it.
Every time I see a game, I just buy it because
it's
cheap.
It's not that such a regular occurrence here in Denmark.
No, it's not. And it is something I kind of jump on now. Anytime I see a game, I'll pick it up. Pretty standard titles. Nothing really exciting, to be honest. Cool Borders 2, because I like the original Cool Borders and I played Cool Borders 2 before. Good game. Not as good as 1080, but it's all right. Theme Park World, Bullfrog's classic expansion on Theme Park, which is very nice as well. It does a lot more than the original Theme Park, which we also own on the PS1.
Me too.
An American copy in a really big box.
Those big boxes, like
gigantic box, like the Saturn box.
In the States.
And then I picked up, just because it made me laugh, Windsurfer's Paradise.
Can I see this case? You have it here?
Yes, it's developed by a studio called Midas. Naturally, anyone that calls himself Midas, anything they touch is going to turn to gold.
Oh, do you want
to
hear what other games they have available?
I do indeed, that's why I brought it over.
They have Burning Ace, okay. Crazy Canoes.
Yes.
Future Racer, GP Challenge, Hybrid, could be anything, okay. Hunchback of Notre Dame, Legend of Pocahontas, Pro Bodyboarding, and Rage Ball.
listen to those games you just listed. Did you not say Hunchback of Notre Dame and also Legend Pocahontas?
Yeah, they do a fair few Disney rip-offs.
I believe it is Phoenix Games under a different
name.
You
do think?
I honestly think it is. Yeah. I'm looking at those screenshots that look terribly bland
I
and uninteresting.
Think this game, maybe our fellow Brass Processor Mike might have actually reviewed this before.
I think so, actually.
Done a video
I've
on
seen
it,
the video.
I can see these... Was that another one? It was equally crap.
Yeah, but I believe Midas Games may be Phoenix.
1 to 4 players, multi-tap adaptable, analog control compatible, vibration function compatible.
Interesting. I bet it's a serious game that you could play with your friends in a competition.
Sail over the waves of 4 of the world's most beautiful beaches.
Okay.
It's down to you to master your own lightweight windsurfer before
Hang on. Right, read it one sentence at a time. I will translate the marketing jingo into what
really?
It actually is. I think so.
Okay.
Right. Say it.
Sail over the waves of 4 of the world's most beautiful beaches.
4 bland levels. There are just water and some sand.
It's down to you to master your own lightweight windsurfer.
Press the X button.
No
press
sense
the X
of
button.
Kind of weight or anything like that.
No, I would imagine you're 40
or
light.
Physics, yes. Before you dive into challenge a computer or your friends in a competition to see who can execute the perfect stunt.
Interesting. Who can press X the best?
Or jump the highest wave. You will have to be able to read the wind if you want to succeed in winds. Go on. Read the wind.
I want to paint with all the colours of the wind.
Oh, play Legend of Pocahontas then.
Yeah.
In Windsurfers Paradise, only losers fall off.
Ooh, really?
And you don't want to be a loser, Matthew. This is a pocket price game from Midas.
Actually, Midas, believe it or not, is a European publisher of computer PDA, mobile phone and video games.
So they didn't develop it.
They're based in Essex, but... Most of the console games published by Midas are budget releases sold at a lower price than the majority of new titles.
Like
and are
Phoenix.
Often localized Japanese titles.
Uh-huh.
Many of which are often released on budget price in Japan. I honestly think this could be Phoenix Games, Tom. I don't think
Phoenix, though, are Japanese. They aren't, are they? They don't develop.
They're not, but they don't develop the games themselves, do they? They publish.
Okay.
So I'm thinking there could be a crossover here.
Possibly, but then again, there's that Simple series in Japan, and I don't think Phoenix, at least, had anything to do with them. And I think maybe some of these are from that same series.
Really?
Their budget. Games like Demolition Girl.
Yeah.
And Earth Defense Force and other
perhaps.
Such games.
Yeah, yeah.
Such as Girl Fight. Yeah.
They actually published Dynasty Warriors 2. That's interesting.
Mm.
In the West. Also, Army Men Sarge's Heroes 2.
But everything they touch doesn't turn to gold.
No, unfortunately. And I imagine that Windsurfers Paradise is a
is not
terrible,
a Windsurfers Paradise, but a Windsurfers
but we'll
Nightmare.
Maybe we'll do a Tom and Matt quickie on it. Who knows? Also picked up the PS4 camera.
Earlier on in the week, we had a little bit of fun with that.
We did. You set up your own profile on there today. It's kind of cool because there's a way of turning on the console now that it recognizes your face, which is allocated to your profile.
I guess Kinect does that as well?
Yeah, it does. Mm. But it also
this is closer to a Kinect than the PlayStation camera's ever been.
Definitely.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the functionality, I think, from what I've heard of the Xbox One, is kind of the same thing.
And
but you can hold your controller up and then it recognises your face and a controller in your hand and it says, hey, Matt's on this controller, Tom's on this controller. And that's kind of nice. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, well, it's friendly, isn't it? And it's fun, the Playroom feature.
Yes, exactly. That was a lot of fun, flicking those robots out of the remote and making them dance and all that kind of stuff.
And discovering all the achievements.
We can play the ice hockey game. We've got 2 controllers again. Yay!
Air hockey, isn't it?
Air hockey,
yeah,
yes.
I think.
Yes, let's do
that's
it.
Fun. Like on, the original Wii Player had a nice air hockey game.
Really? Mm. Oh, yeah, I remember. It was actually featured on the box art, right?
Yeah. Good. I play that.
I haven't played. I've got Wii Play back at home somewhere. I don't think I've ever touched it.
Mm. I hadn't touched Wii Play Motion until very recently. And that's got some good games on too.
Yeah, cool. And then I'm going to close off with the story of my find of the week. Even though I have bought some cool new things now off of the Danish website, the Danish free ads thing I use, that I'll talk about on next week's podcast. But I was in a charity shop, and as I said...
That's not unusual.
It is not unusual, but it is very rare to find anything, as we just previously talked about. So I had a look around this charity shop, and I went in. I just kind of... I'd left work early. I was feeling good about myself. The weather was shining. I was like, oh, I'll have a look in the charity shop, just because it's on the way home. So I walked in. I had a look at a really nice desk that I want, but it's ludicrously heavy, and it's why we didn't get it to put the Amiga on. And then kind of walked around the shop a bit and had a little bit of a potch, went to where the games usually are. There was nothing there. I was like, oh, okay. And so as I was walking out, I noticed that there was a PS2 box on the floor by...
Now, this is a console box.
It was, the PS2, the blue box, everyone's familiar with, the minimalist design, next to where all the electronic stuff was. And you can vouch for this, Tom, I've never, ever seen a console in a charity shop.
I bet your eyes lit up.
It did. And, like, even the fact that it was a PS2, I was like, oh, that's curious. There's a PS2 in the charity shop. I've never seen a console boxed. So, walked up to it. Opened the box. Just because out of curiosity, because the box was half open. PS1 inside.
Oh, this is confusing.
I was just like, that's a bit odd.
Which
because,
one? Which PS1?
The big chunky PSX, yeah.
The grey one.
With, like, 3 controllers for it. Like, weird thing was, though, that all the manuals and stuff are there, because I looked at it on Saturday again. All the manuals for the PS2 are in there. So there was at one point the PS2 in this box. Yeah. Probably not in this charity shop, and then someone had just thrown it in and then donated it to the charity shop, because it's the only box they had. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. There's a PS1. And I looked then behind it. I pulled it forward to see if there was anything else in the box. And I saw a Nintendo logo on a box. And I was like, shit, there's a NES cart in here. Box one. Pulled it out. No, it wasn't. It was a NES Max controller. A pretty obscure bit of Nintendo history.
Controller. I've never seen one before, actually. And it's a very cute little thing. Tiny little controller.
Fits right in the palm of the hand.
With a sort of analog control.
Yeah, well, like, if you look at it, to me, it kind of feels like the alpha build of a Super Nintendo controller, because it's kind of got 2 little grips. Admittedly, it's square and kind of fits in with the aesthetic of the NES. Mm. But then it's got the bigger D-pad space with, like, the slider thing, which is crazy, because it's supposed to be for more precision. So you've just got this kind of... Where you put your thumb is
a
on
nub.
Almost like
a nub.
Yeah, it looks like a button of a NES controller, but blown up huge.
Yeah,
with a rest, kind of like on the American Super Nintendo controller as well. It's got this kind of groove for your thumb, but you can just kind of rotate it around. And
like kind of the 3DS stick.
Yeah, kind of like the 3DS stick. Yeah. I think that's a better comparison. Yeah. It's about the same size. But this thing just kind of like freely rotates within this 360-degree circle that's in, and then you can kind of angle yourself better for shooters and stuff.
We've yet to try it out.
We have not tried it out yet, but I'm kind of looking forward to doing so. But yeah, pop down to your local charity shop.
It's always
what
fun,
you
isn't
might
it?
Find. Yeah, exactly. And it kind of gave me a thrill of retro hunted again, and it kind of spurred me on to do a bit more, because I mean, like, yeah, finding a box copy of Blade Runner is nice, but it's like...
Blade Runner?
Yeah, remember I found the PC game Blade Runner?
Oh, yes.
About a week back.
Talking about the film.
But, like, you know, finding some in Nintendo is always nice. Warms the cockles of your hearts, much in the same way if it would have been something for the Master System or the Mega Drive, I would still have been equally as chuffed. Yeah.
Oh, yes, a boxed Mega Drive to Master System converter would be preferable right now.
It would. It'd be very nice. I've also picked up a few cool things this week, but I'll talk about them on next week's podcast when I have them in hand.
Oh, that's something to look forward to.
I'll tease you, because it's a cliffhanger. Until that time, you can find us on the old Twitter. I probably won't be that active over the next week, but I'll do my best to answer any questions or concerns or any comments you guys have.
Concerns. That was, and your RPG addiction, maybe.
Yes. My RPG intervention.
I really think you should stop buying RPGs, Matt. You'll never play them all.
But I will. No, Matt. You've got 9 now. That's just for this one console. Look at your back catalogue. Look at the Super Nintendo ones you still have and haven't played. But I love Lufia 2. I'm going to play Lufia. Yes, we know you love Lufia 2, Matt. You're never going to complete it. Put the controller down. Put the controller down. Yeah, you can find us on Twitter. My RPG addiction. If you want to stage an RPG intervention, you can find us on Twitter at TMAcast. You can go over to Facebook. Facebook's a thing. A lot of you are on Facebook. So you can like us at facebook.com/Tom.
We have 134 likes on Facebook.
We do. Let's get up to 150. Why not? Share it with your friends. Go on. Like it. It's good for us. It's good for you because then we'll actually post stuff on Facebook.
Oh, we do. We do post stuff on Facebook.
Oh, we post the podcast.
We post
the
podcast and all latest videos. So, yeah, it's worth liking.
It is. You can also then look at us on our YouTube channel.
You can't look at us, Matthew. It's a bit misleading.
Yet. You cannot look at us yet.
But you can listen to us and look at games, which is what you want to look at. You don't really want to look at our faces.
Well, I don't know. The PS4 camera's there now. Anything could happen. But yeah, you can look at us playing Skylanders in this upcoming week. You can look at us playing some other games.
Sonic,
some Dark
Lost
Souls,
World, hopefully.
Some Sonic Lost World. It'll be good. And you can find us there at Tom and Matt Attack, same as usual. Remember, when you're listening to this podcast, if you could, go over to iTunes, give us a rate and subscribe.
We really appreciate it.
Honestly, it lets us know that you're listening, lets us know that this is kind of appreciated by people. It also then, kind of the way iTunes works is, nobody will hear about this podcast other than us self-marketing it unless people like and subscribe in iTunes, because then it generates numbers and then pushes the things up. So if you could do that, honestly, we would damned well appreciate it. And yeah, we'll show our appreciation. Maybe we'll have a thing. Maybe
we do competitions every now and again. That's something.
Yeah, we do.
Say. If you don't listen, you miss out.
You do. Yeah, I guess that's about it then. Unless you have any final thoughts?
Oh.
Any closing statements?
Game on.
Game on!
Mouthing game on to me. I couldn't think of anything more
like
clever to say.
Like a fish! Just kind of like moving my arm in front of my neck. Like going, cut, cut, game on, game on!
Game on!
Game on! Game on.